passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times Radio, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. We want to welcome you to the first Thursday of June, and as we welcome you to every first Thursday of the month, we also welcome none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who joins us on the first Thursday of every month. Well, Matt and I put what's going on in the world through a spiritual lens. We invite you to participate in this conversation, to be part of this conversation, and to step up and make a difference in the world. And we encourage you to do this by being by calling in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can tune into facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you will see a posting for today's show, and you can then comment on what's going on and be part of that dialogue through posting on Facebook as well. Matt, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. And so, Matt, you know, so you're, how goes Matt Connerton? Now, you calling it Matt Connerton Unleashed in the afternoon, your drive time show now, or just Matt Connerton Unleashed still?
Well, it's Matt Connerton Unleashed in the afternoon, but if you're looking for it on Facebook, it's just Matt Connerton Unleashed, because the show itself, I started it back in the summer of 2011, but when I started doing it on WMNH for Afternoon Drive, we called it Matt Connerton Unleashed in the afternoon.
Okay. So if you want to be part of the conversation with Matt, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, Matt has a live drive time show, and you can come to the facebook.com and find out all the information. We've got it all there, about how you can catch up with Matt. And Matt, every now and then, we'll go in when we're actually doing our Thursday show and repost all those links just in case you're looking for it. So how long have you been doing the five-day-a-week show now, Matt?
It was a year as of April 4th, so it's been about just over 14 months now.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel that has changed your interaction with the world, having a five-day-a-week show? Has it changed it? Do you feel like you're making more impact? Do you care if you're making more impact? Because you went from having a TV show that was more of a public access show to a radio show that's out on the airwaves. Do you think that's shifted your impact on the community?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you define impact. I mean, I mean, it certainly has helped the show in terms of listeners and visibility and whatnot, you know, being on an FM terrestrial station. But we also, of course, stream it online, and our national audience has really grown online as well. Plus, you know, we do the show via Facebook Live also at the same time on Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page, and we get a lot of interaction more and more seemingly each week in the Facebook Live chat. Plus, we're also on Comcast Channel 97 if you're here in the Manchester, New Hampshire area. But so the reach of this, so I guess the impact certainly has to have grown, because the reach and the size of the audience has grown exponentially. But when you use that word impact, to me, I almost think of impact as being, you know, am I influencing people? Am I changing people's minds or getting them to kind of look at things from a different perspective? And if that's what you mean by impact, I really don't know, because unfortunately I tend to think that most people politically have kind of already made up their minds, and people like to be in their little bubbles, whether they be conservative or liberal or whatnot. So I don't know if I'm having an impact in that way, but I mean, in terms of the audience continues to grow. And what I'm doing is a little bit unique in that, I mean, there's certainly nothing unique about a political talk show. There's plenty of political talk shows, but usually conservative talk radio really kind of carries the day in terrestrial radio, and there is some liberal programming, and I'm an independent. And there aren't too many politically independent voices in talk radio. So it's something a little bit different, kind of outside the left-right paradigm. I hope I'm making an impact. Like I said, I'm reaching more and more listeners all the time, but as far as whether I'm changing anyone's mind or influencing people, who really knows? It's hard to gauge, and I tend to be a little bit cynical about that end of it, but that doesn't prevent me from trying. I'm going to keep on trying.
Well, I mean, so let's say that 40 to 45% of the people that are determined to be, have already made up their mind that, the liberal side of the coin is Allah, and you need to bow to it. You need to bow to Mecca 3 times a day. And those 40 to 45% of those people that have decided to, make anything that is more current than the discovery of fire, outrageously liberal and unacceptable. But that still leaves us 10, 5, 10, 15% that are hanging out and go back and forth.
Right.
And those are the only ones you can really influence.
Right.
And
yeah.
If you have more people listening and you're giving people, I mean, for a while we tried to do that the first Thursday of every month, we tried a kind of semi-failed experience of being neutral news. And now I've kind of shifted this back to that we're trying to put these things through a spiritual lens, because it is really hard to find neutral news. Forget about finding independently based news. Neutral news is even harder to find than independently based news. Because there are some people out there that would qualify for independence that just think that, their version of independence is it should all be anarchy. And, after you shoot all the lawyers, then if any of the people that you haven't shot are still politicians, shoot them too, and then, and then go from there. So
you say you want a revolution.
And so I think that part of it out there is, even if it's only 5 to 10, 15%, that there are still seekers out there, and they're trying to get their hands on what we can point out that makes sense or doesn't make sense. And I think anytime mm-hmm. you're having true, honest dialogue, that you are making a difference. And if more people are tuning in, we have to assume that some of those are ones that are trying to decide on a daily basis which side of the fence they're going to hop off of. And you may be influencing that.
I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, I don't worry about it that much. I just kind of, I say what I think. I bring guests on who say what they think. You've been on the show many times. I just try to kind of do the best I can with it. And whatever influence I may have or not have, it is what it is. Sometimes I'll hear from people, one of the greatest compliments I get is when someone will say to me that they actually, someone who's already made up their mind, that they actually disagree with me on some of what I say, or most of what I say, or maybe all of what I say, but they think I'm fair. which is, to me, is a huge compliment, you know, instead of just being told, well, I disagree with you and I think you're wrong. Or they'll say that, I think you're wrong, but I think you're fair. Or, you know, I've had people say to me, I disagree with you, but I like the way you present your arguments, or I think you're wrong, but I also think you're entertaining. So I listen, you know, so sometimes even the people who have made up their minds, who I can't necessarily influence, at least I can entertain them and present to them something that they find compelling, even if they don't agree with me on anything that I'm saying. So there is that too, you know. So I don't necessarily worry about it too much.
Well, and, you know, worrying about it doesn't, like, really get you anywhere anyways.
True. That is true.
No matter what you do, worrying about it isn't gonna, like, move it one way or the other. You know,
yeah.
The thing is, if somebody is open-minded enough to be seeking what is the truth, like you have often said, we all know I'm not a big fan of our bully in chief. I don't make a secret
right.
of that. But yeah. you've tried to keep an open mind on him, and I've tried to keep an open mind on him, and there are some stuff that we both think is ludicrous. But we both will say things, but there are some things that he's done that are good, or that was a move in the right direction, or, you know, he has done some stuff that I don't know anybody else that could get away with, you know. I mean, in this political climate, with the amount of politicians who are so enamored of their, you know, of their incoming wealth and through lobbyists and their obsession with their power, who would sell their own souls of their grandmothers to the devil if it could keep them in office, you know, we've created a political climate where truly absurd things are happening that we never thought would happen in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
and they're not all bad things, I think that there was things that our bully in chief got away with that Obama never could have got away with, Bush, Clinton,
oh, yeah.
none of them. I think we've just reached a higher level of ludicrousness in our government, the highest I think we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing with the Philadelphia Eagles, for example, he looks like such a buffoon.
Oh,
it's mind-boggling.
Well, you know, I mean, there have been, and I'm sure you followed them. I mean, recently there was one of the Fox News hosts took part one of Trump's Twitter tweets and completely decimated as basically falsehood after falsehood after falsehood. You know, I mean, the guy, I mean, I've watched the clip four or five times because it's actually funny. I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about.
Was it Shepard Smith on Fox?
Yeah, the one where he was like, no, it's not spying, Mr. President. That's wrong. And no, yes, we know it was all a witch hunt, except for the fact that three people have pled guilty and the fourth one is on the way. Yeah, no, there's something there worth investigating, Mr. President. You know, I mean, how often do you ever see Fox and Friends, like, really go at him like that? But, you know, I think that, you know, how high level. Now the governor of Texas has come back and said, we have no idea where he got these numbers, that there were people that got rescued by the Coast Guard because they were out in a boat to watch Hurricane Harvey hit. And then we don't know where he got these numbers. And if he'd like to illuminate us of where these numbers came, he talked about, well, these stories, we'd love to hear them. I think he even invited him to go out on a boat with him next time there's a hurricane that hits Texas. I'm sure. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's all been unfolding today. You know, he made another set of outrageous, you know, things trying to make himself puffed up and look good. And, you know, and here a good solid Republican governor of Texas just took him to task again, going, you're like just not, don't know what the, like, there's no truth in what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Trump just makes things up off the cuff, and, you know, including numbers and statistics. He just makes them up. Yeah.
So the one thing I wanted to talk about, and, you know, and this is one of the things that I appreciate about our conversations with you, because sometimes I can get riled up, and sometimes I can also get sucked into the drama of, you know, everything that's going on in politics today, and I step away from my logical stuff. But one of the conversations I wanted to have on today's show was about the whole Roseanne Barr versus Samantha Bee.
Mm-hmm.
Should have Roseanne Barr been taken off the air for what she said? And if so, should Samantha Bee be allowed to stay on the air by what she said? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Of course, absolutely.
So what are your thoughts? Start with Roseanne. Should Roseanne have lost her cur? And she retweeted, I saw somewhere, I think it was today or late yesterday, but I didn't send myself the thing. But after she apologized and groveled and then tried to get her show back and all that stuff, she retweeted the comment and even said something more additional in the last 24 hours against Valerie Jarrett that was racist. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. But as far as her losing her show, I mean, that was the only thing that could be done.
Now, why do you say that that was the only thing that could be done? Because, let's face it, she had one of the best ratings on the TV station. She had a lot of people loyal to her, and a lot of people that were loyal to her agreed with her, with what she said.
That's true.
And it sounds like the incoming music, and we'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. It is the first Thursday of the month, so we are here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who has a Monday through Friday politically based independent perspective political show on 95.3 FM. Manchester's downtown radio station. For those of you who may be listening to another from another part of the country or the world, that's Manchester, New Hampshire, not Manchester, England. Just letting you know. And he is joining us right now, and we're kind of discussing some of the stuff going on in the political landscape and what does it mean and what can and should or should we not do about it. Matt, are you still there?
I am here.
Okay. So we were talking about Roseanne. Now, you said that that's all that that they had no chance. We were talking about the whole Roseanne thing. And you said that there was no chance, there was no choice but to haul her off air. Why do you say that?
Yeah, that's the only thing ABC could have done, because every single sponsor would have abandoned the show regardless, and there would have been immense public pressure for ABC to make that decision, which I think is why they made the decision as quickly as they did, because there was no other option.
So, but, you know, one of the things we said, you know, one of the things, the points that I made was that there was a lot of the population that was, there was people that were very strongly drawn to the Roseanne show who partially or may have fully agreed with what she was saying. But you still say that she had no chance.
Yeah, yeah. Every sponsor would have walked away had they not canceled the show. So there was no getting around it.
Okay. Now, what do you think about the Samantha Bee story?
Oh, I thought there was a huge overreaction. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Samantha Bee did. She said what she said in the context of a comedy show. It's a comedic program about politics. Ivanka Trump is a public figure. She's part of the Trump administration. She's a political figure, and she was being lampooned and satirized and criticized rather harshly, but I don't think that there's anything wrong or offensive about it, and ultimately it's just a word. And I think the only reason there was so much outrage is, you know, people, and Bill Maher talks about this all the time, people engage in a sort of mock outrage where they know that there's nothing to really be outraged about, but it's an excuse, it's an opportunity to score some cheap political points. So in the wake of the Roseanne firing, all of these Roseanne supporters and all of these conservatives, they had something to point to, you know, because it's this whataboutism that everybody engages in now. They say, oh, you're upset about Roseanne? What about Samantha Bee? You know, and in my view, there's nothing wrong with what Samantha Bee did. And I always cringe whenever I see a comedian having to apologize for something. I don't think humor should have rules. I don't think she should have to apologize for that. Now, and by the way, one might say, well, then why does Roseanne have to apologize, or why is she be sorry? Because what Roseanne did was not in the context of a show or a performance. It was just Roseanne tweeting something racist on Twitter. But I don't see anything wrong with what Samantha Bee did. And I found it painful to watch her... her apology.
Okay, so anybody can use any language to describe somebody unless it's racist.
Well, no, but I think it's not the language that matters, it's the context that matters. So if someone within the context of a comedy show, which is what Samantha Bee's show is, a show that is comedy and is political satire, within the context of that, you know, yeah, she can say whatever she wants. I certainly don't find it offensive.
Okay. Did you find... Did you find what Roseanne said offensive?
Yeah, I'm generally offended by racism, and that to me was just blatantly and patently racist. And I'm also fascinated by the psychology of it, because she had to know that she was sabotaging herself on some level. She had to know that. There was no way that was going to fly. The outcome of that was completely predictable. So it's also very interesting to me that she decided to essentially commit career suicide. I know she blamed it on the Ambien, which is pretty questionable. The makers of Ambien released a pretty interesting statement about how, yeah, prescription medications do have some side effects, but there is no known side effect of racism from taking Ambien. But no, I thought what Roseanne did was pretty offensive. But again, ultimately, you know, what she said, regardless of how I feel about it, you know, those sponsors, ABC made a business decision. And, you know, I see a lot of people lauding ABC and giving them a lot of credit for making what they think is a moral and ethical choice. But ultimately, ABC, they would have been under immense pressure to cancel the show anyway. But it's a different context. You know, it wasn't even Roseanne the character saying what she said. It was just Roseanne the person in a public forum expressing something racist. And it wasn't the first time, by the way.
No. You know, and it's what it was about, that, you know, it's a tough thing, Matt. Because I've really struggled back and forth. I believe in freedom of speech. And mm-hmm. people that are racist are have just as much right to freedom of speech as not.
And, right.
And I may not agree with it. I don't agree with people that are, you know, are homophobic and express it.
Right.
And I know that it's very hurtful and very painful, but it's that fine line for me of, you know, I talk about our bully in chief and I talk about bully Christianity and I talk about religious nutcases that are trying to force their God on everyone else instead of, you know, having a private, you know, have your relationship and go sing Kumbaya and do whatever you want to do, but don't involve me and don't force it on me. And I you know, I don't get into a lot of profanity because that's not my style, but I certainly have been pretty outspoken about these things. And there are people that could say that, you know, what's... you know, I'm Christian phobic or whatever. So I think it's such a fine, I mean, I get that sponsors were going to pull that she made herself unmarketable, and that she made a bad choice. But also I agree. And I've read a lot of stuff about it. And more than one person that is more intimately involved in this than you and I will ever be with Roseanne and who she was and what her timeline was of all of this said exactly what you said. She was trying to self-sabotage herself. There was a part of her that hated being back on air, that she didn't want to do it. And then, you know, and she's kind of gone back and forth. And she has identified herself as having a mental illness that would support this kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think, though, I was just going to say, though, it's also important to point out, because, you know, you were talking about free speech, and some people who are Roseanne supporters have been trying to say that her free speech has been impinged upon in some way, and it has not. At no point has her free speech been violated. She was completely free to say what she said on Twitter. She still is. She's free to express herself in whatever way she chooses. But freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences. You know, I was telling somebody the other, actually I was saying it on my show, but I was saying this to a caller, you know, freedom of speech doesn't mean that whatever you say will never have consequences. Freedom of speech doesn't mean that whatever you say, you still get to have a sitcom on ABC. You know, freedom of speech doesn't mean that whatever you say, no one who does business with you can ever be unhappy or disapproving or want to dissolve that business relationship because of what you said. She has freedom of speech. It hasn't been affected in any way. She can go on Twitter, because I don't think they've kicked her off. She can go stand on the street corner and yell something racist if she wants to. At no point has her freedom of speech been affected at all. Just her business relationships have been affected, and that's going to happen. But that's life. But her rights are in full force.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, TV and movie stars sign. It's not uncommon. I'm not going to say that they all do, but definitely this is part of where Disney was coming from and what they did. They sign, you know, they used to call them a morality contract, which says if something that comes out damages that damage the reputation of the movie studio or the TV station or whatever, we can get rid of your contract. You're in contract violation.
Right.
You know, it's not illegal for you to speak out. You can say whatever you want, but we've already told you, because a long time ago, Hollywood and, you know, now television has figured out that there are a lot of negative ramifications for stars that come out and are too vocal about stuff. There's been a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff that has continued to go on or is going on with the whole Me Too movement of somebody makes an accusation against a star, and even before it's proven, they have lost their TV show or they've lost their special or they're being written out or replaced in a movie, and they haven't even been proven guilty yet.
Right.
And so I'm just... I stay just a little wary, because we have a bully in chief who has brought witch hunts to an art form by him using them as a way to deflect.
Mm-hmm.
And he incites and encourages things that inflame and support violence and us and them mentalities and turning each other against each other. I mean, if he's the master of something, it's the master of creating mayhem, which you and I have talked about. I think, and I know you don't disagree with me, that he creates mayhem sometime because he's pulling a fast one on the side. And you're so enamored by the mayhem that you're not watching what he's doing. We've had that conversation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but I think that witch hunts, we've got to be careful. We've got to be, it's really hard. I don't want to see a return to McCarthyism. I don't want to see a return to reverse McCarthyism. And
right.
So that's why I think that these have to be really discussed, and people have to understand, like you have so eloquently pointed out,
Roseanne's freedom of speech was not impacted.
Right.
But Disney has a certain image, and having a person who is putting themselves out as racist does not fit in that image. But no one said that. Everybody said that it was morally wrong, or many people, not everybody, because a lot of people stood up for her, and even
yeah.
much farther than she went in some of their negative comments. But nobody said that she broke the law.
No.
She didn't break any law.
Right. I feel badly for everyone who, you know, people like Sarah Gilbert, who, you know, worked on the show, and because those people in situations like this often tend to be forgotten. All the people who are affected by one person's very poor judgment, you know, it's really too bad.
Or whether it was consciously or unconsciously, very self-sabotaging judgment.
Right.
You know, and it's very interesting. There was something that Tom Arnold said, and of course you don't know because they didn't have the best of breakups. And, you know, as her ex, but he said that when he first met her, that she taught him how to be more liberal and understanding, and that she's only become more like this and worse, you know, worse as time has gone on. That this was not the woman that he met originally when he met her on the first Roseanne show.
I saw that clip. I know the clip you're talking about. I think it was with Anderson Cooper?
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh, bless you.
Yes, I did not hit the mute in time to keep that out.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is Why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back to the last segment of this week's Dr. Kevin Show here on the first Thursday of the month, where Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and I put things through the spiritual lens. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, you can do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can go to facebook.com/ go on My Dr. Kevin. When you go on to My Dr. Kevin, make sure you like me. I'm a likable guy. And in doing that, you can also see today's show and you can leave comments there and we will share those on air. So what did you think of the pharmaceutical, Sanofi's, the maker of Ambien? What did you think about the tweet that they fired back when Roseanne talked about doing this in an Ambien haze?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was very funny and clever.
Yes. For those of you who missed it. The makers of Ambien fired back at Roseanne, which said, "While all pharmaceutical treatments have side effects, racism is not a known side effect of any Sanofi medication." So for those of you who missed it, you know, and of course, we saw two sides of the same. You know, we saw her talking out of two sides of her mouth, because she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, and I did this in a drug haze," and I a long time ago had to cut people out of my life, set boundaries, and hold people accountable when their apology was, "Well, but you know, I had a lot to drink, so you know, it's the alcohol's fault." You know what? No, the alcohol did not tie you up and pour it down your throat. You cannot blame the alcohol. You cannot blame the Ambien. You cannot blame this stuff. If you're taking some medication and it makes your judgment questionable, you need to make responsible decisions that you're not in a place where you're going to screw up a lot of people's lives who didn't deserve to be screwed up by your ambient rattled tweet. That was so popular in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and all the way up into the beginning of the turn of the century, that people got away with inexcusable behavior with the excuse of, "Well, I was a little drunk, I was a little stoned, I was a little high, so it wasn't really me, I'm sorry." No, you know what? That's not "I'm sorry." It's that I'm an irresponsible, immature person who hides behind substance and probably may need to consider to go into rehab if you think that that is an acceptable excuse. So that's right. My response to Roseanne. But she has continued to retweet very racist comments that supported what she said, even after she said that's not how she felt. I mean, how... And when you retweet something, you're giving it your stamp of approval.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so she says, "Hey, I'm making restitution for the pain that I caused." She even said she's going to quit social media. Then she retweets the original one, and then she retweets something that says, somebody who said to her, "You didn't cause any pain. Those people always hated you. Valerie Jarrett wants Israelis and Jews chased into the sea and she'll celebrate." And she retweeted that.
Oh, she retweeted that?
Yeah, she retweeted that. So she put it out. So she continued in a very bully and chief way, because he's famous for retweeting stuff, especially stuff that he's never checked up on, he tries to deny any accountability for. So anyways, moving right along, are you aware that Nashua, New Hampshire, on June 30th is having its first Pride Festival and Pride Parade?
I was not aware. In the Trump era, information like that is often suppressed.
Well, it's being unsuppressed, at least on the Dr. Kevin show. I actually just finished doing a series of shows on my TV show, the Web of Light TV show. I did, because, you know, I go in and I tape four shows at once. And every show started with what I found is as a gay supportive or great gay friendly quote.
and I announced this. We did one whole show on Pride and the history of Stonewall, and some horrible things that have happened and horrible things that still continue to happen. And the hypocrisy of Christians who say it's okay to, you know, put your child on the street, to deny them to do these things because you're gay and I'm a Christian, so you can't be in my house. I actually even found Bible quotes that said that, you know, that they're worse than unbelievers by turning their own family out onto the streets. It's completely antithetical to any teachings of a loving Jesus. So Nashua, New Hampshire is going to have its first Pride Festival.
Oh. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, the White House is ignoring Pride Month, which probably doesn't surprise anyone.
No, I don't know. I don't watch the press secretary. I don't know if anybody has actually asked her why the White House hasn't said anything, and she just dodges the question, because it would be a great question. But it's just the beginning of the month, so somebody at some point will take on the all-star deflector known as the press secretary that we currently have. If he's the bully in chief, he's the deflector in chief.
I don't know of any evidence specifically that Trump himself is homophobic. I mean, I'm sure that Vice President Mike Pence doesn't want to see any, like, what did they do during the Obama administration? They'd light up the exterior of the White House with like a rainbow thing. I'm sure Pence doesn't want to see any of that. But you know, Trump's, one of his mentors, Ray Cohn was gay. So, I don't think I've ever heard Trump say anything explicitly homophobic. Have you?
No, I've never actually heard Trump say anything homophobic that I'm aware of. Nothing's ever come across my thing. I think that he is an equal opportunity shakedown artist. I think he'll shake you down just as quickly if you're gay as if you're straight. I don't think.
Yeah.
And, I mean, God knows, in the fields that he's traveled in and the things that he's done, he's had to have had a lot of interactions with gay people along the way.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You know?
Celebrity Apprentice and all that, sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, he had the singer, Chris, God, I'm not going to remember his name now, but he was one of his apprentice people, and he was openly gay. And I'm blanking on his name. I can see him, and he has kind of a softer southern Clay Atkins. That's who it is.
Oh, Clay Aiken. Yeah, yeah.
Aikens. Yeah. So there now. Have you heard about the big changes in the Miss America show?
Yes, I saw something about this. So the swimsuit competition is gone. And they're no longer calling it a pageant. I forget what they're calling it now. A contest? A competition? They're not using the word pageant. Yeah, they're not using the word pageant anymore.
Yep. And they, what I found interesting, so they've done away with the gown, the gown and the bathing suit.
Yeah.
Because that's all about putting, you know, objectifying females.
Right.
Some of the value is how good they look in a gown or a bathing suit. What I thought was interesting was there was no real resistance or negative feedback from the Miss America organization about this change. But they also said that the bathing suit contest had become the least watched part of the pageant.
Oh, interesting.
They were getting fewer contestants. They were people who literally, when polled, there were young women that said that they would never do it because they refused to walk around in high heels and bathing suits. It felt degrading.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's a long time coming. I'm actually surprised that, that we hadn't gotten there already in terms of this change.
Now, do you think that will happen to the Miss Universe pageant? Does Bully in Chief still own the Miss Universe pageant, or is that one of the things that he supposedly, supposedly put on hold when he came into presidency?
Yeah, I don't think he has anything to do with that now, but I can't say that for certain. But I do think that same change will happen. Yeah, I think this is the start of something. Because like I said, I'm surprised that this didn't all happen sooner, these changes. So yes, I do think that this is only the beginning of that.
So now I had referred to the fact of I want us to be very careful about witch hunts these days. And I recently read something, and you may or may not have come across it, but do you remember that you had somebody came out somewhat earlier in the Me Too thing and accused George Takei of inappropriate behavior and getting him drunk or drugged up and having sex with him or something? Do you remember that? You know who George Takei is?
Yes, of course, Mr. Sulu. Yes, I do remember that.
Well, did you realize that recently the guy came out and admitted it was false, apologized?
I didn't.
George Takei actually forgave him, and it was one of those cases where now George stood up and said, that never happened. That never happened. I protest that. Didn't happen. Stood solidly on it, pushed back. The guy pushed a couple of times, and then the guy finally capitulated and admitted that he had made it up, that he had, as an act of desperation because of where he was in his life, tried to take advantage of the movement, and something that I guess the story, I can't remember the exact story, but I guess, I mean, him and this guy crossed paths. I don't think anything sexual ever actually did happen came out. But also that they crossed paths a couple of times, and a couple of times George actually tried to help him out when he was struggling. But, and so now here we go. Somebody comes out and says something. We find out it was completely false. It got a lot of press when it came out, got almost no press when it turned out that it was a false accusation, which again is why I say we have to be very careful of witch hunts.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. I mean, in the court of public opinion, very often it's guilty until proven innocent. And while I support the Me Too movement, there is a dark side, as there is to most things that are broadly positive in that. Some people are, will take this movement and abuse it. I know that accusations were made against Morgan Freeman that have been called into question about whether these folks making these accusations are legitimate. And so we do have to be a little bit careful about this. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that is I think we're finding a fair amount of hysteria showing up on a lot of sides where it's who can yell the loudest, who can make the accusation that's going to stand out the most. Who's going to be able to throw the most dirt? Now, I just read something, and I'd like we've got a few more minutes, probably two, that is saying that Mitch McConnell is actually trying to, push the midterm elections back to the favor more of the Republicans by saying that the August session has been canceled because it will reflect better that the Republicans are really trying to get something done and try to work something. It will also give the Democrats less chance to fight in the more vulnerable states that they might lose to them if they're tied up and can't go and do stuff. Do you think that that's all
right.
hype, or do you think there's some truth to that?
No, I think there's some truth.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think it's true. I mean, Mitch McConnell, he knows what he's doing. This is not something that is unlike him. You know, he plays rough. He's a politician's politician. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all, and I think it's for exactly the reasons that everyone is speculating. McConnell denies it, but honestly, he barely denies it. You know, the quotes that I read from him when asked about this, it's like he's denying it, but with a wink and a nod. You know what I mean? So I think it's pretty obvious to everybody what's really going on here.
Do you think that this will succeed in derailing a better showing for Democrats?
No, I don't. I think it'll backfire.
I hear that closing music. Matt, as always, thank you for coming on. We look forward to having you on.
Thank you.
On the first Thursday of July, and I'm way overdue for coming for a visit your way, so we'll have to make that happen.
You're welcome anytime.
I know. You tell me that all the time. I'll get there. Bye.
I know.
Bye, everybody.